This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, my God! Look who's back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. The boys are fired up this morning, certainly. It's great. By the boys, I mean us. Me, I'm Woodsy, and Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
The other boy, Ben Higgins. Friendly neighborhood sports anchor, fired up as well, fresh haircut, looking sharp. Sharp as a tack this morning. Fresh haircut. Where'd you get it done? What salon did you go to? What hot, trendy salon?
What barber shop
did you go and get that wig split?
Hollywood stylist to the stars, Marcus, did my hair. No, I went to Sport Clips.
Sport
like
Clips.
I usually do. Not a sponsor of the show.
Really should be. Should be.
Couldn't should be.
Don't know why they're not. I'd be the perfect endorser. Yet never have been offered.
I always think about the day that Sport Clips made its big announcement that they're, hey, we have a new business idea. We're going to cut your hair and you can watch sports. And I wish I had a hidden camera on my beloved Ben to see... That day, like, oh my God, Mom, Dad, have you heard?
Oh, have you heard? My goodness.
Well, Ben, what is it? Is everything okay? Hey, everything's great. But there's a place that's opening up in Rancho Bernardo. I got to get up there. They cut your hair, and there's TVs, and you watch sports in there. It's made for you.
It's great.
It's made for you.
You get the MVP experience. It's like a spa treatment for
guys. Mom, you don't understand. I can get my scalp massage while watching Around the Horn.
No, I did it Saturday. I went with my son, watched the USC-Michigan football game while I sat in the stylist chair. I feel like I get a very simple haircut. Anyone can do it, so there's really no reason to pay like $140 for a haircut when I can get a nice, you know, whatever, $30 MVP and get my shoulders massaged with the
Oh, it does feel good. The hot towel.
The hot towel is great. Love the hot towel.
It's elite. It kills me.
Scalp massage is great.
The business idea was a real good one. It's a real good one. Just like there were when we were kids.
Their cabinets are designed like lockers.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm gonna get my other.
When you go to
sisters.
Get your hair washed, you go through the showers.
I love it. I wish that I could have seen his face the day he walked in. Like when we grew up, there were I don't recall any like sports bars. Not that it's a new phenomenon, but back in the day it was you went to a bar. Or you went to a restaurant that might have some games up above the bar area. But then one guy goes, well, let's just put all this together and we'll get some attractive waitresses and we'll, you know, serve wings or whatever. And then we'll make it a sports bar.
I remember when Seau's first opened in Mission Valley and like, oh, this is Disneyland for sports fans. This was awesome.
Just incredible.
And now it's like that, but getting a haircut
That's
as
right.
well.
That's right. Yeah, you never miss your Tony Kornheiser takes as you're getting your wig split on a Saturday, man. So, listen, we are very fired up today, certainly. A lot of good news to talk about for your San Diego Padres. And anytime you can sweep a team, you're very happy. You're very happy and setting attendance records and things like that. It's just... As I sit here this morning on September, what do we got? 23rd. I am very, 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 very happily surprised by how this baseball season has played out. Now, the problem with that is I instantly want more. I'm gratified, but I want so much more gratification. The expectations of this team and its fan base have changed 100%. And so... I'm very impressed with what I saw this weekend. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, we'll talk about it. I'm very impressed by what I saw from both teams. I mean, those games were a dogfight. They were a dogfight. And I'm watching that bullpen, Ben, going, how are these guys so bad? Everyone throws 99 and they've got a 2 ERA. Like, I don't get it, but.
They never quit.
They never quit. Never. I mean, I saw one bad play on their part and nothing happened. You know, Jackson Merrill had a chance to get new life there yesterday after a Vargas boot. And I other than that, man, I saw a team that was absolutely playing with their hair on fire.
I agree with you. I mean, they're not a good offensive club.
No.
You know, they struggle to score runs. But otherwise, if you just put me in a you know, dark room and said, all right, watch this series. Yes. Tell me what you think. The Padres are a pretty good team. The White Sox, not bad, middle of the road, you know, need some offensive help. But otherwise, they look like a solid, decent baseball team. Nothing at all screamed, this is the worst team in the history of baseball. They didn't make a bunch of dumb plays, no base running mistakes. No. They were pretty buttoned up defensively most of the series.
More than us.
Yeah, there was really nothing there that said, this team is absolutely horrible, other than... Yeah, they didn't get many hits, which, you know, give the Padres pitching staff some credit for that as well.
So we'll talk about that, certainly. Now, we have a thing on our rundown where you guys write a recap for the weekend, and Balls is blank and Ben's is blank. So what am I to assume about the weekend? I saw Paulie yesterday. I did not see you.
I forgot to add Ben's.
Oh, you had one.
Well, I did have one.
He puts it in his email.
Oh, in the notes, okay.
And then I need to copy and paste.
That's your recap.
Yeah. Costco, Trader Joe's, lots of to-dos. Goat golf, went to the new dumpling bar in Encinitas.
Tell me about that.
Really, really good.
I saw your picture.
Yeah. The food was outstanding. Soft opening, so, you know, still working out some of the kinks, I think. But
I like this picture that you posted of the dumplings.
Well, I just reposted their
picture.
That wasn't
yours.
I didn't take that picture.
Okay.
Just added it to my story.
So what did you have?
Had the chow long bao with the pork, which is the soup dumplings.
Okay, in SLB. Soup?
No, the soup is inside the dumplings. You eat the dumpling, and then the soup kind of bursts into your mouth at, you know, 100 million degrees, so you have to be careful with that.
You gotta wait it out a little bit?
Yeah, pot stickers, which were excellent. You can see them making them all, like, fresh right in front of you behind a little window.
I gotta try it.
Yeah, it's right there, I mean, 3 minutes from your house,
I would be remiss because I didn't do it Friday.
I mean, everyone likes dumplings, right?
Dumplings are almost
universal.
Yeah.
It's hard to meet someone. Oh, no, I just don't like pot stickers and, you know, stuffed pasta.
That's, I think even I like dumplings.
It's really good.
I would be remiss if I didn't wish my bride a happy anniversary in one day because I didn't do it on Friday because, well, who knows? We hadn't hit it yet. You never know what's going to happen.
It's true. Yeah.
You want to wait till.
You don't assume.
Never, with Hannah, never assume anything, ever. She could have dropped papers on me on Sunday morning, and I would, you know, I'd be like, all right, I guess it makes
sense. You got me. I had already wished you a happy anniversary.
Damn it. I wish I would have known this before I said happy anniversary on Friday. But so happy anniversary to my beloved bride. 7 years married, 10 years together. Two little angels, little sweet angels.
And your kids.
And our kids. I will say this. It's time. You can't bang me for Plugola because I didn't pay for it. But the restaurant didn't pay for it either. But I have to tell you guys.
No one paid for it.
This story. No, it was paid for.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we go to a place called, I'm going to mess this up. Can you say it for me?
Millefleur.
Thank you. There's an S on the end, but that's silent because it's French. Say it again.
Millefleur.
It was.
It's 1,000 flowers.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It was perhaps the best meal I've eaten in my life. We started with the bread, but there's a name for it.
There's the name for bread.
Yeah, what the hell do they call it? It's French. What do they call for bread?
Like a batard or a...
A batard?
Yeah, like never a, heard like of a that. Loaf of bread.
It's like
or
a,
like,
what the
are
hell
we talking
is it called?
About?
Doesn't
a
matter.
A bouillon of bread.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's different kinds of bread. The French make lots of bread.
Lay bread. Yes, that's what they call it. No, it's not pan. So We got the bread. Then we each had lobster bisque. And then Hannah got the steak frites. Baguette! That's the word I was searching for. Got the lobster bisque. Hannah got steak frites. I got filet with mashed potatoes. And we got a side of corn. We each had a cocktail. One cocktail each. We ate it. Ben, my plate was... I took like the rest of the baguette and smeared up all the leftover juice on my plate. It was that good.
Le baguette.
Yeah. So we're sitting there and we're eating. We're having such a great time. And so I had my cocktail and I go, hey, happy anniversary. Here's the 7 more. And she started dying laughing. And she's like, just 7. I'm like, you start small. Hopefully we make the next halfway there. Yeah, we're halfway there. So we're having a great time. And I look up at Millefleur and in to the restaurant walks the goat himself. Ron Fowler and his wife Alexis, and I haven't seen them in forever. I will text with both of them every now and then. I love them. If you don't know the backstory, this show quite literally owes its life to Ron Fowler. We are huge Ron Fowler fans. Ron Fowler made sure that our asses were sitting in these seats when our other station went under. He made sure of it. He busted his tail to make sure we had jobs. I had a baby. I had no insurance. I had no salary. I had no nothing. And Ron made it happen for us. And so we owe him, I owe him my life, I feel like, because I was really the one holding it back from getting hired here. So he walks in, big hugs. He looks phenomenal, by the way. Phenomenal. Maybe something about owning a not owning a baseball team.
Well, you know, he's moved on to owning a soccer team.
He owns a soccer team.
I've heard may even be worse than owning a baseball
team. That's true. That's true. But he, whatever it is, he looks phenomenal. So they walk in and we catch up and say hello. And then we sit down, we order our, or, you know, we sit back down, we order our dessert. And the bill comes, I'm reaching for my wallet. And he goes, oh, no, sir, Mr. Fowler has taken care of this for you. And I,
power move.
I just go, come on, man. He is the best. So, Ron, thank you. Alexis, thank you. Again, I'm so in arrears to them. Like, I really should be spending my weekends over, like, pruning their trees and, like, washing his car for him, because that's just kind of how I feel. I feel like I owe him my life, man. So it was so great to see them. And, yeah, it was an incredibly generous thing. So that was really sweet. That was really sweet.
They are very sweet, sweet people.
And made our anniversary even more special. We had a great time that day or that night. And then yesterday we spent it at the ball field all day and got our first win as a Pinto team. Managed a nice comeback win, 8-1. I didn't do much. Just my guys finally started hitting in like the third inning.
No, you told me you made a big adjustment.
I did.
Middle of the game.
Moved them back in the box.
Okay.
Everything was coming up high, you know, and everyone's swinging at their
Smart.
Eyes. So, yeah, we figured it out. We ended up winning yesterday 13-12. We had a walk-off. So it was a pretty elite weekend. Pretty elite weekend. No complaints from me. Didn't take an L all weekend.
No.
Which is the first time I can really say.
Tier 1s, Padres,
Pinto. The Bulls, and then Bo's soccer team won. He had a great game, scored a goal. No L's all weekend. No L's at all, which is nice.
Now, if we can just keep that going for another month plus, we're all golden.
I know. I kind of viewed this weekend as the calm before the storm, because this week I'm going to be high-intensity games. Regular season games, but they're going to feel like playoff games, all six of them.
Yeah,
the rest of the way. Next weekend in particular, it could come down to the wire. Who knows? And then, still don't know where we're going to be playing in the playoffs. What seed? Are we a one seed? Are we the four seed? Are we the six seed? Nothing is set in stone yet. So, like, there's just so much uncertainty. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of playoff broadcasts and, you know, weekend shows possibly. Like, there is so much unknown. Oh, Adam's already been asking.
We're not doing any weekend shows. We have 20 hours a week.
He's already been asking.
We have 20 hours a week.
I mean, were you calm on Friday when they hit a two-run home run off Robert Suarez and tie the game in the ninth? Were you calm yesterday when they were trailing 2-1 in the eighth inning against the Chicago White Sox? I wasn't all that calm.
Friday I was not.
I was upset Friday.
Yesterday I was calm. I knew it was going to come. I tweeted it. I said, time for the grid squad to get gritty. The second I hit send, double. Just like that. I was like, oh, that was actually pretty weird. But man, it was just incredible. It was incredible. I'm so proud of the guys for going out and just handling business. As we know, like we said,
grid squad showed up again.
Don't ever go into any series saying, I mean, unless you like, you could have gone in and said, we need to sweep to make the playoffs. Okay, then you know what your assignment is. But to go in knowing full well these guys don't want to set that record, they don't want to tie that record, and to go in and handle business, as we saw up in LA. Sweeps of bad teams by good teams, you can't count on it. The Rockies ended up scratching out a game against the Dodgers. Like, it does happen. So the fact that our guys went in, handled business, my hat's off to you, man. And yeah, it wasn't pretty, and they were hard fought. But again, those are the kind of games, once you win them, it just kind of helps. It's like another notch in the belt, man. Okay, yeah, we can win these games. And they continue to come back and fight. So it was pretty special.
All right, we will have your playoff update and status for the San Diego Padres when we come back and set the menu for a Monday edition of Ben and Woods. Do not go anywhere. Probably still a little leftover talk from the weekend as well. Paul Reindl, Stephen Woods, happy anniversary
Thank
to you
buddy.
And Hannah. I'm Ben Higgins. We'll be right back after Kelly Danick's traffic here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, if you look at the FanGraphs website this morning, you'll see the Padres with the playoff odds of 100%.
We did it.
But they have not clinched the playoff spot.
That just means said 100%.
That just means they're above 99.5%, and it rounds up to 100. Because they remain with a magic number of 1 to clinch a playoff spot. And while I've been looking for the official clinching scenarios for Major League Baseball, I actually have not found them. So this is based on my own understanding of the situation, the tiebreakers, and the math. But I believe
Higgins core. You know, they have common core. This is Higgins core.
I believe
is it called common core?
The one and only way the Padres can clinch a playoff spot tomorrow. They can't clinch one today. No one is playing that is involved in the National League wild card race that would affect the Padres. The Diamondbacks do play for the number one seed, and you can cheer against the Diamondbacks against the Giants. But the only way they clinch is with a win over the Dodgers, because there's no way that both the Mets and Braves can lose tomorrow because they play each other.
Ah.
So the Padres will either win and clinch, or they will have to wait until at least Wednesday to try again. Now, at some point, the Mets and Braves could have enough losses together that the Padres can clinch without winning a game. But right now, the only way they can clinch is by winning tomorrow against the Dodgers. So they'll have to take all the champagne and plastic tarping up to Dodger Stadium and have it ready just in case they win the opener to that three-game series tomorrow.
It would have been so weird. There was a scenario, I'm sure most Padres fans were aware, over the weekend where, you know, you win Friday night and you're like, okay, what does that do for the magic number? And then you're looking at Saturday and Sunday and you're like, all right, if the Padres win Saturday and Sunday and the Mets and Braves both lose, we could clinch on Sunday night. And then you look ahead and see that the Mets are playing on Sunday night baseball. You're like, so if it all, which it didn't work out that way, but you're like, are they just going to like finish their game at 4 o'clock and then sit in the clubhouse?
That was the plan.
You get a text.
If the Braves had lost yesterday and they won 5-4 over the Marlins, which made it a moot point, but had the Braves lost and the Padres won, the plan
pop
was
some bottles at like 8:30
The plan
PM.
Was for the team to stick around for like three and a half hours and wait and watch the Mets game in the clubhouse. And if the Mets had lost, they would have had a champagne celebration. I think it was around 7:40 or so when that game ended, and they would have, 6:40 when the game ended, and they would have popped bottles at 6:40 at night and had a very awkward late night celebration. With, the playoff clincher happening 3,000 miles away and at, you know, later than anybody else. Petco Park had been completely emptied out long ago, but they would have done it because that would have been the playoff clincher.
I just picture, Mike Schilt being like, Adam, hey, can you guys stick around for another 3.5, maybe 4 hours, just in case? Also, Paul, can you make a graphic for in case they do lose and we do clinch? That's what I pictured in my head.
It wouldn't be something that's mandatory, but it'd be a bad look if you weren't around celebrating with your team, clinching a playoff spot. Or you can just wait and do it before the game on Tuesday when you get up to Dodger Stadium.
Oh, that's God, just rage.
It's weird to start like before the game with a champagne celebration.
Hammered.
Then go out and play the game. So that would be weird.
Well, a lot of them stuck around. Yeah, there was they stuck around and did the concert yesterday.
Los Tucanes.
Did you see Ruben?
Oh my God.
Jeremiah Estrada, Robert Suarez, just get them
David
on
Peralta
stage.
Having Peralta. The greatest day of his life.
It was so great, man. It was so great. It was just phenomenal. So, yeah, I mean, again, 100% chance to make the playoffs. I would say that's a job well done, mission accomplished. And certainly there are other scenarios that could be even more fun and more special.
Oh, there's more at stake right now. I think their goal is not just get in.
No, they're in. They're in. 100% chance.
Well,
you're in. Yeah. You're going to the playoffs. Let it sink in. Absorb it. And then think about the other missions and tasks at hand. It's incredible. And I'll say it 100 times today. A 90-win season was not in the cards for me. I will be as honest and open and tell you I did not think this team would win 90 with a chance to win 96. I did not think it was going to happen. I'm so happy that it did.
I think the big headline from the weekend is that the Padres now control their own destiny
Incredible.
To win the NL West, and a bye in the first round. Nothing can stop the Padres. They need no help whatsoever.
It's unreal.
They just need to win their last six games. And if they do, Padres will be NL West champions, and they will have a bye in the first round as either the number two or possibly the number one seed in the National League with the Philadelphia Phillies, and wait until next Saturday would be the start of the playoffs. Now, if they lose even one game to the Dodgers or one game to the Diamondbacks, they could still end up not winning the division. They would need some help at that point from the Rockies to beat the Dodgers in one of those last three games, but they still have the control of their own destiny going forward. As long as they keep winning, they are on track to win the division.
It's hard to wrap my head around, man. And again, I Paulie brought it up the other day, and I thought about it all weekend. I thought about the opening day broadcast. You know, down there, just filled with a lot of hope, and thinking to myself, no, I like what we have. Certainly, we've got stars. It's not like we don't have stars on this team. There are guys that are capable of having monster years and carrying us. But we don't have enough pitching, and this bullpen's a little bit suspect. I've never heard of half these guys.
Some guy in center field that has never played center.
I'm not expecting much. Yeah. He'll be better than Trent Grisham.
You got Profar on $1 million prove it deal.
Jerkson's gonna be an everyday player. I just don't know about that, man. You know, I just don't know. How's Manny's coming off surgery?
Really? Should it be Zokar or Merrill in center field?
That was an actual conversation that was had. And there were actually people going, Sugar deserves the shot. He deserves the shot. Look, this is not a time to say I told you so, because I didn't tell you so. I told you the opposite. I want to be the anti-sports cast. Like, I knew it all along. I had no idea. And I'm so happy. But it's gone by in a blink. Truly. A blink. That grindy 500. All right, that's fine. That's what they are. May get us in with 82 wins. Still may get us in. We did that bit. And to sit here today and watch this team just looking the way they do and playing as hard as they're playing and together as much as they are, it makes it. My stomach is a pit of anxiety and nerves, man. And the playoffs haven't even started yet, but it's been fun. It's been fun. And you know, Mud and Don did this yesterday because it was their last broadcast. It's not going to be our last broadcast, but...
At home,
yeah. Thank you guys for being with us all season long.
We should really do like Mud and Don did just and do thank our entire cast that helps put this show on every day.
I'll start.
Okay.
Thank you to Ben for being here.
You're welcome.
And Paulie, great job. Thank you.
Nice.
Welcome. Thank you.
That's it.
What about all the other technical directors?
No, that's it. That's it.
Robot camera operators.
That's it. All our stat guys, our phone screener. No, that's it.
That's it.
Thank you, guys.
Graphics.
Nope.
It's all Paulie.
Yep.
It's all just Paulie. Yeah. So that all we have to do is thank the one person.
Thank Paulie.
That's us on the air. I mean, thanks to Odyssey for giving us the studio.
Give us the platform. But
JR and Mike and you know, some of the engineers for the times we have problems.
But for the most part, you know.
All right. Yeah, here's what we've got coming up. We'll talk about another grit squad of a weekend against the Chicago White Sox, starting with our Padres wrap-up. Talk about yesterday's 4-2 win in the series finale in our next segment. Get into the other games as well as we move forward. 7:10 is Take on Woods. 7:20, Don't Do This. A lot of baseball talk today. I would imagine at some point we'll work in some football thoughts, although I wouldn't expect that to dominate the conversation on this program this morning. 8:35, Sam Levitt, who was there yesterday, talked to Luis Arraez after the game, was part of the post-game celebration for the final regular season game at Petco Park, a new attendance record set yesterday. Talked to Sammy Levitt at 8:35. Rondo Report at 9 o'clock. We've also got some tickets to give away to the La Mesa Oktoberfest, VIP tickets for the La Mesa Oktoberfest, which is the big one in San Diego coming up. So stay tuned for all of that. But back with our Padres wrap-up, Jesse and Tony's calls of the sweep clincher yesterday against the Chicago White Sox. When we return with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, look at us talking about potential playoff pitching rotations. I mean...
You just said it last segment. You 100%.
Did. It's 100%. So it's time to start. I guarantee you A.J. Preller is thinking about it. Mike Schilt says, hey, we're one day at a time. We're not going to worry about that yet.
About it.
But
you have to.
You have to start thinking about it.
Well, you got to, but you do have to. You do got to focus on the task at hand as well, because especially the task at hand could yield you a really, really special thing, and a little bit of time off. That you know, I know a lot of other teams have used that excuse in the last couple of years. The Braves, the Dodgers. There's no excuse, man. You get to reset your rotation. You get to rest your bullpen. You get to rest your legs. You get to now. Will you fall out of rhythm a little bit? You will. But this team has found a way to bounce back all season long from.
Yeah,
Like, that's not even something you have to bounce back
from. I will
from.
Agree that the time off is not necessarily a good thing, but it's better than risking your entire season
correct.
In a best-of-three series against likely either the Mets or the Diamondbacks, two incredibly dangerous teams who have had a lot of magic themselves, the Mets of late, Diamondbacks, we saw it last year in the playoffs. If there is a scenario where you can win out, win the division, and don't have to play that series...
Yes.
I don't care if you may feel like, we might not feel as quite as locked in by the time we get to Saturday. You have dodged an entire series when you can be eliminated from the playoffs. That is more valuable than anything you can get right now.
Whoever it is playing whoever, you know, you let their closer go three straight nights. You know, you let their starting pitching, you know, use everybody in their bullpen. And
a star player possibly tweak an ankle. You know, anything can happen in those three games.
Anything.
Bad things. Lots of bad things can happen.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I watched some of that Mets game last night. They've got it, man. They've got that devil magic, too. The Braves, you know, it's funny. If you faced off against either of those teams, you would look at both of the starting rotations. You go, I'll take my chances against the Mets. You go against the Braves, you're like... Bro, there's a good chance we're 2-0 after facing those guys.
Now, I promise you, if the Padres do end up as a wild card, which is still the most likely outcome, and they win home games on Tuesday and Wednesday and sweep the series, I love that. That's the best possible scenario to be in. You've won two games, you have a couple days off then to get ready for the next series, you're in great shape. If you can guarantee me that they were going to win those games, I go, yeah, then let's play them. Let's just keep the momentum running.
Sure, yeah.
I just can't promise you they're going to win those games and get through that series, which is why I don't want to have to play it if at all possible. Getting a little ahead of ourselves, we'll certainly talk more about that as the week goes on, and certainly tomorrow as they start the series against the Dodgers. Right now, though, we're going to focus on what happened this weekend, starting with our Padres wrap-up of yesterday's sweep clincher against the White Sox. We'll do that right after this check of traffic with Kelly Danik.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Got a fresh start this season, and he hits this one well out to deep left field. Profar is back, he's going to watch, it's going to go. Corey Lee of Vista High. A home run, his 11th of the year, and the White Sox will take a 1-0 lead in the third. One and two to Robert. Darvish deals, and on the outside corner, strike three called. Throws him with a slider. And career strikeout number 2,000 in the major leagues. 3-1 pitch, and Profar sends it in the air to left field. Pretty well struck. Benintendi's going back. He's looking up. It's going to go. Profar with a game-tying homer. 1-1 here in the third. Darvish deals, and that's sent in the air to left field straight away. Profar not even going to turn around. Now he does, but it is gone, a home run. A high arcing shot to left field for Vargas, his second as a White Sox, and his fifth of the season. Second solo homer of the day, and the Sox are back in front. It's 2-1. 3-2. Frazier Eller delivers, arise, lines it the other way. That is a fair ball down the left field line. Wade rounding third, he's going to score. Benintendi's throw going to second, wide of the mark. An RBI double for Arise in the pinch, and a 2-2 game here in the eighth. 2-2. Pitch to Profar. Reach for it. Hit in the air to right field towards the corner. Fletcher over to the line. He makes the catch. Lockridge is tagging. He's on his way. Here's the throw. No shot. Sacrifice fly. Jurickson Profar. And the Padres have their first lead of the day. It's 3-2. Eller kicks and deals the 0-2 pitch into the air. Deep to left field. Benintendi back. He's going to watch. It's going to go. 20th of the year for Fernando Tatis Jr. And the Padres add on. It's 4-2. 1-2 to Gavin Sheets. Here's the pitch from Suarez. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Came back with a changeup and got him. Padres win their 90th game of the season. Just the fifth time in franchise history they've done that. They go 3-up on Arizona for the top wild card spot in the National League. And on the other side, the White Sox become only the second team in modern Major League history to lose 120 games.
So it was fitting. You know, really grit squad showed up again. Competed the whole day, you know, down, fought back, down. Clearly fought back and was able to bring it home. Robert, good for him. Did a nice job. Really crisp.
So crisp.
As Jesse said, just the fifth time in franchise history, the Padres have reached 90 wins in a season. First since 2010, when they won 90, but did not make the playoffs that year. The franchise record is out of reach. That was the 98 wins that the 98 team got on their way to the World Series against the Yankees. But second place all time is very much within reach. That's 92. The 1984 Padres, who also went to the World Series, won 92 games. And that is absolutely something the Padres could tie or break this week and become the second winningest team in franchise history. You said you were surprised at 90. I would definitely be surprised as, second best regular season team in Padres franchise history this year.
Yeah, man. And again, you know, we talked about it in the open. The Padres won these games, right? They won these games. The White Sox did not lose these games. The Padres actually had to go out and win these games against a team that has been much maligned, you know, the tied for the most maligned team of all time. I'm really, really, really impressed with how hard those guys played this weekend. I can't say it enough. Every single guy, it felt like that came out of their pen was nasty, nasty. And you look at it and you go, man, how does this spiral and get so bad? And the way that they played defense, we played way worse defense than they did. Way worse. I thought they ran the bases better than we did. They just didn't hit. You know, they didn't hit. And part of the reason they didn't hit, we have really good pitching. We have really good starting pitching. We have really good bullpens. And, my heart goes out to them. And if you're a White Sox fan listening, I saw a few of you at the ball game on Friday night. I feel like a moron to sit here and tell you your future is bright, especially with who's running the ship over there.
It's not.
It's not. But there's a couple of guys. Garrett Crochet is he's the nastiest pitcher I saw this year.
If they keep him and don't trade him this offseason.
He was so dirty, and people were getting mad at the Padres. I was sitting.
No one was hitting that stuff.
I was sitting.
No one was hitting that stuff on Friday.
I was like 40 yards from him, watching him pitch, and I went, oh my God, that big leg kick. Nasty. Nasty, dude.
So, and Sean Burke yesterday was in his third major league appearance.
That's insane.
I thought he looked outstanding, working the corners.
How do we trade one of those guys?
Hitting his spots, allowed just two hits in six innings.
And the guys in the bullpen were really, really good.
I was the same with you. They kept bringing in a guy with 99. A whip of 1.07 and an ERA of 2. Something. I'm going, how on earth has this team lost 120 games?
There's three guys I would switch out for guys in our bullpen today with guys from the White Sox bullpen. So, again, I know that they're going through it right now, but they really played hard. And, again, it's a testament to our guys and how hard they played. And I saw it a lot. Oh, man, they're not taking this team seriously. No, they were. They were. They're taking it very seriously. But they just ran in some really good pitching and still managed to get three wins, and they had to scratch out two of them, I would say.
Congratulations to Yu Darvish on the 2,000th career strikeout. He actually pitched really well, 6 1/3, just three hits. Just happened that two of them left the yard for solo shots, which put him in line for a loss until the Padres got him off the hook later in the game. But you continue to see Yu stretching out. He was really under no pitch limits yesterday. Asked to go back out in the seventh, and Mike Schilt said, yeah, go out and get that first right-hander. Got him to pop out, and then they took him out of the game. But certainly a good sign moving into the playoffs that Yu is getting sharper. You know, use that. The slider still got, I think one of the home runs came off that slider.
Yeah.
That's been the one kind of iffy pitch. I think he tried to work it in a little bit more yesterday. We'll see where he lands in the postseason, what's most effective. He got a lot of swing and miss, though, on some of those other breaking balls, whether it's his sweeper or whatever he calls it, the ones that he kept down in the zone, looked really sharp, that off-speed stuff yesterday. So a good performance by Yu Darvish. Offensively, you know, Jurickson's oppo shot was great. You know, he's heating up again after a cold August. He suddenly got hot again here in September, so it's good to see that at-bat that he had after the Arise pinch double where he got the sacrifice fly. He worked hard for that one, you know, battled, fouled pitches off, got the wild pitch to get the guy over to third, and then poked that one to deep right. That was a heck of an at-bat by Profar.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Glad he didn't bunt early
in the at-bat.
You know what I was thinking, though? So now you swing away. Now you do. If you're going to do it, that's the time.
No. I mean,
if you're going to do it, if
you want him to bunt the runner over to third.
I never want him to bunt.
Okay.
But he bunts. He's a bunter. He said it. I bunt. I know what I'm doing. Fine. All right. Why in the third and not the eighth?
Well, but that's the reason why we don't like the play, because
right.
You got him over to third without having to
correct,
do anything.
Correct.
And then you had a chance to drive him in.
To knock
you
him
know,
in.
And if you had bunted on the first pitch,
yeah.
That would have erased that opportunity
correct.
That you wouldn't have had
so
otherwise.
Again, my point is that he should have bunted. I never want him to bunt, but he's a bunter, and he didn't bunt then, so I was... He always keeps me guessing, and that's why I love him so.
And then Fernando, who hit one earlier in the game that was too high, the old too high died at the warning track, hit another super, super high fly ball. But that one, I think he realized he had it. He kind of came out of the box, and he was pretty sure that even though it only went about three rows deep.
I was just going to say.
He felt like he was pretty sure about it.
He looked, I would say, on a confidence meter of 1 to 100, 112 when he hit it. I was like, oh, that's upper deck. That's off the sign. That's off the scoreboard. And then it goes, dribbles over into the second or third row. I went, all right, man. Like, you better be sure. But, yeah, he got all of it. When he turned to the crowd in the dugout and raise his arms, I did get a little misty-eyed, man, for that moment. It was pretty cool.
And then I thought maybe the most interesting part of the game with you know, Tanner Scott having been used the past couple of days, Robert Suarez was back out for another save opportunity, first one since he blew the save on Friday. Again, got the first two outs, then gave up the single that put the tying run at home plate, just like on Friday, with a chance. Home run ties it. But this time, instead of going with the fastball on two strikes, he goes with the changeup, gets Gavin Sheets with some nasty movement. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have a secondary pitch. That's
yeah.
a really good
filthy
secondary pitch. He just doesn't break it out that often, but certainly worked yesterday. And while I know that Padres fans rightfully still have some concern about Robert Suarez, Mike Schilt remains pretty confident in what he's got there. And I'm curious to see what the closer situation will be going forward from this point on after what we saw this weekend.
Yeah, I go back and forth on it, but I do think matchups are important, and especially in October, like your roles are really not defined. I don't think you can have the defined role in October, Ben. I think there's so many moves that are going to be made and so much strategy that has to be employed in October. I really do. And again, we've talked about, and we don't know who we're facing. So once we look at who we're facing, I think then you can kind of start looking and going, all right, like, let's just play manager. If it were me, and you've got Alonso and then blah, blah, blah after, yeah, maybe that's a good time for Suarez. If it's blank, blank, and blank, maybe I'm going to Tanner Scott there. It's so nice to have a double barrel like that.
Well,
that
and the, come in and the be numbers nasty. Have been pretty clear that both guys are more effective coming off a day's rest.
Yes.
So is it possible you alternate your closers in the playoffs when you don't have an off day?
But the other thing is this. I mean, the way that Morihone stepped up this weekend is encouraging. So then maybe Morihone, if you need to give Scott a day, Morihone can then come in and be the guy that gets out lefties in the seventh or eighth inning, right? Instead of Tanner Scott, if you know you got to give him a day. But the other way of thinking is, this is the playoffs. Go with your horses. Yuki Matsui still on this team? He hasn't pitched in 2 weeks?
Think about that yesterday.
2 weeks?
Like, I haven't seen him. I think it's been longer than that.
They're not playing a lot of non-close
games. He hasn't pitched since Saturday, September 7th.
It is the 23rd.
So, well, like the playoffs, you won't need every pitcher
correct,
in the playoffs.
Correct. And you ride your horses. Yeah. And it's hard because you're riding some of them now.
One great moment from yesterday we didn't talk about, I will bring up next. We'll play Take on Woods ahead on 97.3 The Fan.